And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus 107 on a Tuesday afternoon. A beautiful, beautiful day out there with just a few clouds, temperatures 74 degrees here at the studio with a light south breeze about 5 to 15. We're on our way up into the upper 70s today. Not a bad day, Bridget, overall. It was kind of a chilly morning. We had 40s across much of the area this morning. And a little bit of fog. I don't know if you had any fog in your neck of the woods, but I know we didn't here at the studio, but many areas did. You're on mute, Bridget.
Oops, sorry about that. Devil's Lake had fog this morning.
Yep.
I think there's a number of other places. So, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of a cool down. I had a call from a farmer over by Wisconsin by Chicago today, and he just mentioned, you know, I still needed to warm back up again. My corn is not quite ready for this. So,
yeah,
fair question.
That's right. And that goes for a lot of the Midwest, I think. And we're actually finally seeing some cooler weather. But like you said, that's not really what we want. But we do have warmer weather coming back our way as we head into next week. But let's see. We have the all-powerful John on line one. I can only imagine which John this would be. John, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. What's on your mind today? Should I even ask? I'm afraid to ask.
Do you want the politically correct answer or the let her fly answer?
What's going on today, John?
Well, not much, aside from I keep looking at my Waisaki tomato, as I'm starting to call it. It's like a whole foot tall and has put out three tomatoes and no more flowers now.
See,
I have no clue what's going on with that. I'm thinking maybe it's a next week tomato.
Next, where it warms back up. I gotcha. Oh, boy.
Had to honk at the bunch of young guys on the out riding their bike on this glorious day you gave us.
Well, at least
it is just nice out.
Maybe your tomato plant will thrive in this weather. It's getting a little rain tomorrow, too, and then warmer weather next week.
I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe I got a case of root rot or something that, like, stifled the thing. I don't know.
I think you got a case of more than that, to be honest with you. But that's
I'm not a green thumb gag master bee, you know.
Well, you know, John, might be a great idea if you go ahead and send some photos over of what's happening with your tomato, because on Thursday, Don Kinsler is going to be joining us, and Don would be able to help diagnose your tomato situation.
Well, it's still green. I mean, I'm just...
I know, but it's not producing.
I know. It's kind of like the government, you know, as a whole. It's green and not producing.
True. Green.
Did I say that out loud again? Oh, geez. Did my hostility show through? Hey, what's with COVID, boy? You know, do we need to get him a different vaccine or something? What is going on?
His whole family is infected, so he's hoping to be back to work tomorrow.
I'm starting to think he's like Typhoid Mary. We're going to have to, like, quarantine him all the time.
Well, for now, anyway, we don't need this spreading around. John, thanks for calling. He's always entertainment. We should get him on. Do we dare get him on one day as just one of our guests, Bridget?
That is up to you. I've told you where the guest sheet is to sign people up. I'm just waiting to see if you actually go through with that.
I just don't know if I have the courage to actually do that. Because we just don't know what he's going to bring up. That's for sure.
Well, I'd say that's a normal thing on this show every single day.
That's true.
So weather-wise, what you got for the week?
Well, weather-wise, we've got a pretty decent-looking forecast outside of a little bit of rain tomorrow. But again, there's many areas that still need the rain. We picked up a little over a quarter of an inch many areas with the last round of rain. And we've got more on the way tomorrow, but not for today. A nice day out there today, partly cloudy. Highs in the upper 70s with south winds 5 to 15. Clouds will be on the increase tonight, dropping off to a low near 60. And scattered showers and thundershowers are in the forecast for tomorrow. None of those will be severe. South winds about 10 to 15 and highs close to 70. A fall-like day on Thursday. Breezy conditions out of the north, about 10 to 25. A lot of clouds. Maybe a few afternoon showers, highs only in the mid to upper 60s on Thursday. Thursday, the lousiest day of the week, if you will. And then Friday through Sunday, sunshine returns and highs will warm from the low 70s on Friday to the upper 70s by Sunday. How much rain are we expecting Wednesday? Quarter, third of an inch. Could see some heavier amounts. Looks like right now focused in the northern valley this time around instead of the southern valley. So, again, you know, picking up another quarter inch of rain, that every little bit helps. But we, like you said, Bridget, we need the heat to come back, and it will. As we head towards mid month, we're looking at more 80s in the forecast. Probably squeeze out a 90 or so as well.
We'd be okay with a bit more heat units right now, and we're just hoping for the best, right? Again, I'm still on the bandwagon for no frost till November 1st. I might be asking for a lot, but I'm going to keep asking. If Justin can ask for a huge yield in corn, I can ask for a late frost date.
You can.
Those are the rules.
Mm-hmm. We can only hope, right? We can only hope.
That's right.
No doubt.
That's what we're going for. So there's lots to see and see what's in the field today. We've got a lot of wheat that's already starting to come off. A number of barley fields have been harvested. So we've already begun to see harvest going forward. And we'll continue to do that throughout the fall. But be safe out there, because we do have a lot of trucks on the road. You know, they're cleaning out bins and hauling into the elevators and ethanol plants, soybean crush plants as well, just simply to make some space on the farm. And so with all those trucks on the road, as well as combines, et cetera, just be careful out there. That would be the best thing we could ask from you.
Right. No doubt. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And we have a guest coming up here. Has Nathan been on our show before?
Yes, he has.
Okay, the name looks so familiar.
Nathan Filady. Nathan's in the ag tech industry part of agriculture. And so we're going to talk with Nathan. We've got a number of different topics we want to bring up. And when I say ag tech, some folks think about software, some think about precision. And I think there's a collision somewhere in between of all of the things that are going on. There's ties to the farm bill, which we're still awaiting, and much more. So we'll want to talk with Nathan about those items as well. And I have some questions for him about ChatGPT, because I do get asked how that works in ag, and we hear a number of things. There's AgVend has their own AI source. Farmers Business Network has an AI source. And I'm just curious, how good are they? And maybe he can help us judge some of that. Taranis also just came out with one for their drones. So I'll be curious to see what Nathan thinks of some of those. He'll be joining us very soon. But meanwhile, we've got some things agronomically that are happening. And this might not sound like a big deal to many, but potato wart is actually on the horizon as an invasive disease. Yeah, potato wart. Okay. So potato wart has been discovered in Prince Edward Island in Canada, or on Prince Edward Island. The fear of it coming to the States is very high. And so several congressional leaders have sent a letter to the USDA asking for more stringent testing to prevent potato wart from coming to the U.S. Potato wart not only would come on the potato, the tuber, but also can come on soil. So if you have soil stuck to the tuber and it comes across the border, you can bring that with. Once it's in the ground, it can infect the ground and stay for many decades. Potato wart breaks down the tuber, the potato itself, and will continue to affect future crops. You may not think that's a big deal. Anybody who remembers talking about the Irish potato famine in school would tell you that it is a big deal. Even though that was a blight, potatoes are still a mainstay of many diets around the world. And with 20% of our potato market being an export market out of the U.S., that's valued at $2 billion, we could strongly affect our export market with potatoes if potato wart does in fact get out of hand here in our state, as well as in our soils. So, and that would affect a number of states.
And speaking of potatoes, Bridget, so I had a friend ask me, mm-hmm. I didn't have the answer for her. She said, hey, have you noticed, Dean, that when you go to the grocery store, I'm like, I know everything's more expensive. She said, yeah, but potatoes have absolutely gone through the roof. Like a bag of red potatoes, which was normally about mm-hmm. $3.99, is now like $6 to $7. And she's like, why all of a sudden did that jump in price? And I didn't know.
Okay, so potatoes that we harvest this fall can stay in storage for quite some time until they're sold for the fresh market. We'll keep them in refrigeration. And if we don't store them well, if we had a poor harvest, less yield, and then they didn't have good storability, we have less supply. When you have less supply and your demand is up, you're going to see a price increase. Additionally, transportation costs have not gone down, and we've got to truck potatoes all over the U.S. We're lucky here in the state of North Dakota and in the Red River Valley of Minnesota that we raise potatoes. So our potato prices are probably a little bit more reasonable, but it depends on who your grocery store is buying from, if they're buying locally or from a larger distributor, and they get moved around from all over the country. So we sometimes forget that not everything is local.
Right, right.
It can move quite a ways. Yeah. So I'm not saying that that's a great reason why potatoes are more expensive, but it could certainly add to the overall cost.
So you said refrigeration of the potatoes. So should you refrigerate your potatoes when you get them from the store?
No, you should not. But they are kept in low temperature refrigeration or potato warehouses, which are at the right temperature and humidity for their long-term storage.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Well, when we take let's take a break right now. It's that time, and when we come back, we'll have Nathan on with us. I got a question for Nathan right off the bat because he just joined us on our live stream. I want to know what that guitar is in the background and if he plays that. That looks awesome. So we'll have more with Nathan after we come back from the break. Don't go anywhere.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Just working with our guests here to make sure we get everybody connected. Because sometimes, as good as we are in a technical space, it doesn't always work perfectly. So we'll see where that goes. But you know, it does work perfectly. Well, it's when we use sponsors for our Here We Grow project. And we know that right now, our corn is doing its best. It's plugging right along. In fact, I plan to be out there Thursday, take a little look at our field, maybe snap some photos, because let's face it, it's a lot taller now than the last time any of us took a look at it. Corn's tasseling. It's I don't want to say grown like a weed because I'm really opposed to weeds, but I appreciate the fact that our corn's going to make it to the finish line, and hopefully our yields are nice and high. And part of the group that's helped us get there to push us over the finish line has been Steffes Group. Thank you to Steffes. They are certainly a leader in farm auctions, whether it's land, estate sales, and especially equipment auctions. And they do a fantastic job, whether it's in person or online. If you are checking out their website for something that you might want to buy, please let them know and thank them for being a sponsor of Here We Grow. And that can go hand in hand with our banking sponsor, which would be Dakota Bank. They are a large agribusiness bank based here in the Dakotas, Aberdeen actually, and they are here to serve your needs. And let's face it, right now in the situation we're in with lower commodity prices, higher farm inputs, a good banker on your side to help make decisions matters a lot. So thanks to those guys for what they do for us. As you're listening along today and you have questions, whether it's weather or ag-related, you are more than welcome to reach out to Dean and I. You can find us on the Red Wing Shoe phone line, 701-293-9000. And so far today, we are seeing nice weather, and that relates to the fact that sometimes you can't control everything. Not, you certainly can't control the weather, but you can control how things are going in your software, your technology, and more. And that brings us to our guest, Nathan Filati. Nathan, how are you?
Can you guys hear me now fine?
We can.
Yep.
How are you?
Good. I things happen. What do you do? It's technology.
I know. Okay, so Dean saw something in the live stream that we wanted to ask you about before I even start to dive into technology questions for you.
Yeah, that's an awesome looking guitar, Nathan. Is there any significance behind that? Is that signed by somebody?
No. It's an Ovation brand, so it's actually it's got like a fiberglass body. It was my dad's first guitar, and that thing has been through hell and high water, literally from being in the back of a pickup at negative 40 degrees to in the trunk of a car in the middle of summer at 140 degrees, probably. So,
oh, wow.
You can imagine it's gone through a lot. Usually a guitar will not handle that stress.
No.
Like normal wood. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Nathan, I look at it when you say it's the survival of the fittest. That's kind of how I treat my appliances at my house. I wasn't thinking about a guitar that way either, but I certainly do it with my appliances. So Nathan, describe your background just a little bit for those who haven't heard you speak with us before, and tell us about your podcast before we pepper you with questions.
Sure. So I grew up in Central North Dakota, right south of Mattock, North Dakota. I've been in the ag tech space since I was a kid. My father created one of the first kind of farm softwares out there dealing with satellite imagery, and I kind of grew up around it. And I've spread my wings and done a few other different things here and there for different groups in the ag tech space and even the crop insurance space. And I now kind of have some fun musings with making fun memes about the industry, and also on a podcast where I interview colleagues from the past and then new people just to hear their thoughts, get their ideas out there.
And Nate, it's, I mean, farm ag, the technology has come such a long way, let's just say over the last 20 years or so. What's the biggest thing you see coming around the corner that's going to benefit our ag community?
Oh, I don't know if there's one thing, because I don't think one thing can change all of ag. You know, there's the biological space. There's, yeah, some of the things with AI from what Bridget was talking about earlier to other areas of it, image recognition. You know, there's robotics or there's partial robotics. There's just more technology pieces being put into place. So I don't really see one thing just exploding and changing everything. It's kind of a bunch of puzzle pieces put together to kind of create the picture. So I don't have one offhand, I guess, at the moment.
Okay.
Well, okay. So when you just said that about puzzle pieces that are being put together, I think about consolidation in this market space, and there's been a lot. Think about what it was. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. It was kind of the Wild West on software and development and mm-hmm. startup companies to where we are now, to where it's going. Any, looking back and then forward projections?
So I just came back from kind of our big industry conference around ag tech last week called Tech Hub Live in Des Moines. And that usually has the who's who of in the space from the software side to all the other pieces I talked about. Let's just say there was lower attendance this year. There's less people trying to buy into it. You know, crop prices are down, budgets are tight. Also, to your point, there's been kind of, there was a slew of investment coming in, and a lot of that money's dried up for different reasons. And some of it is some pieces haven't worked the way that were promised. Mm-hmm. And so really there's a lot of apathy out there in the ag tech space, because there's been a lot of promises. There's been a lot of great things happening. There's been good things at work. Some haven't, but there's just kind of a notion of we're good right now. Whatever we did implement into our stack of tools, we're content. We don't need to push the boundaries like we were kind of needing to before and changing our ways. People are just kind of hunkering down and saying, let's use what we have and make it better. So instead of trying to fight for all these, you know, new adopters with new technologies, that top 5%, it's like we need to grab the other piece of the pie and get them just to do something in the space. Maybe it's more soil testing using variable rate. Maybe it's more scouting. Maybe it's let's pair some of these other things together that have been around for a long time and just do a better job of implementing the basics. That's kind of where I see things.
So I want to come back to, and we might not be able to do that until into our next segment, I want to come back to Tech Hub Live and what it is, why people attend it. But first, before we get to the bottom of the hour news, you just made mention of kind of the attitude in general that farmers have with their technology and their software. Well, maybe there's some other things that we could do better versus spending money on that. Would that be a fair statement that folks are maybe not looking for the technology to advance as quickly as some of the base, going back to the basics, or am I off base?
Well, it's there's so much shifting that happens, especially when different cycles in ag happen, especially like, you know, this year crop prices are down. It shifts the entire focus so quickly, and it can go from I'm excited in the spring to, oh, harvest is coming around now, I don't have time to think about it. And those different cycles happen at different points in the year, and there's larger issues at play. And you know, even the, you know, the election coming up, all these things are just playing into this wary feeling, I guess. I don't know if that answers the question exactly.
I think it does. And I think that you're right, that there is some wariness to what are we doing and how are we doing it? And particularly what sort of dollar sign is attached to it at this point. So, well, we're going to need to talk about that just a little bit more, Nathan, and we'll do that. And when we come back, we do want to catch up with our news here at the bottom of the hour at 1:30, and we'll have many more questions for our guest, Nathan Filati, when we return. And welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It's always an exciting day here at Weather and Ag in Focus because we have great guests, and today's guest is no different. Nathan Filati is joining us. Nathan's got a background in ag tech, and I love the fact that you can talk about so many different parts of ag tech because I can't. So thanks for being my resource and my expert, Nathan. I appreciate that.
No problem. That's I'll hang my hat on that, at least for somebody. If it's you, that's fine.
Okay. You mentioned Tech Hub Live, and I watched that advertised in places like Farm Futures Magazine, et cetera, but I've never been to it. Can you explain what that is to folks who are sort of wondering out there in the audience?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually been kind of there's a few different iterations of it, but now it's called Tech Hub Live. It was combined with another one and called InfoAg in the past. And it was run by CropLife Media and the Fertilizer Institute. And then they split off. And there's actually another show here in a week or two in St. Louis, which takes over from InfoAg and it's more agronomy focused. I can't remember the exact name. But Tech Hub Live really formed into a need to understand better for ag retailers what software and tech is available. The first conference is in 96, which I actually attended. But now it's been called Tech Hub Live in Des Moines at the end of July every year. And the who's who are there. And they, you know, showcase what they have and people try to learn more about the industry.
And I think that it's expanded. It's not just ag retail. I think it's several different layers within ag. And do you ever see farmers who attend and have questions or ideas that they want worked on?
There are some that come. It gets really regional depending on if they show up or not. There are farmer panels and things like that. It is really, though, focused on the more service providers, I would say, not focused for the farmer input as much. I wish it would, but that comes with its own challenges. For sure.
Boy, that is the case. Absolutely. So, okay, I have some questions that we didn't even put on our list to talk about today, but I thought you'd probably be able to handle off the cuff here. I was at a meeting last week where I spoke and was asked about my opinion on ChatGPT and if that will replace the hands-on agronomist. And I know you're familiar with that term, you know, the person who literally assesses fields, makes recommendations for the farmer as to what to do in the field when it comes to inputs, seeds, all sorts of things. Do you think that ChatGPT will replace or enhance what we do in the field at a human level?
So the first thing to think about this as is, yeah, ChatGPT is based on a LLM, I think, learned language model or large language model. It can't replace. It can't replace that because it has to use training data from various sources. Now, think of this. You know, when you see ChatGPT now, it is skimming things all over the internet, books and articles and published, you know, medical journals, stuff like that. Now, on the ag side, sure, it might be doing that too for ag specific things, but most of the intense agronomic functions are done in the field and are very specific to each field, each agronomist, what they do. And as we all know, farmers and agronomists and others in ag don't really like to share their information either. So if you don't share it and the language model can't learn it, then there is no substance to it. So I think it's going to be more used as an enhancement based on the data that's inputted within a local model like a ChatGPT that's built for specific purposes. But really the power is going to be in what the individual user of that adds to the model and what are they okay with, you know, being in the larger side of it, or is it going to be based on their own individualities of what they're saying into this model. And there's a lot of variance in that because, and even when you get into other data side agronomics, the same thing goes, you know, just because you have a yield data file and, you know, maybe 10 years of it doesn't mean it's good. It could be poor quality. Okay. It wasn't cleaned correct. So all those things affect the ChatGPT type style model for answering questions.
Okay. Go ahead, Dean.
Well, I was going to ask Nathan that, you know, there's always malware and, you know, somebody's always trying to infiltrate our laptops, our phones, you name it, with viruses. Is this a big problem in ag as well? And if so, are we up to date on keeping this at bay?
I mean, there are challenges probably in ag around that. I know the USDA has a very sophisticated process to keep their data private from other foreign entities. All the major manufacturers, like, you know, John Deere, Case, you name it, AGCO, the major input companies, the Bayers, the Syngentas, they all have very sophisticated engineers working on security. It's a big piece of it. I think the other side of it, though, is what does someone want from it? And what is the goal? I don't think that's very well defined. Beyond the financial, oh, you have a lot of money tied into this account that's tied to ag. There isn't much people can do to affect it. And if people are wondering what we're producing, you know, by all the data, say in the USDA, honestly, if that country has satellites like China or Russia or whatever, they can kind of predict it anyways. We do the same to them with our satellites. That's the reason they exist. Is the main reason that spy satellites have existed to a point is to check on other people's crops to see where the political settings are. It gets kind of interesting once you dive deeper into it, actually. But not a too big a worry, because I don't know what they'll do necessarily as much with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just something they can view. Okay, so I'm with you when you said attendance was down at a place like Tech Hub Live because folks are maybe seeing less startup money, less funding grants, et cetera. But let me ask you this. When you look at our adaptation rate, and I know we have a very high adaptation rate to precision ag here in North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, do you think that's going to level off for farmers right now with their concern over the farm economy? We're not buying much equipment. We're probably sticking with older equipment, doing more repairs. Are we going to treat our precision work, our software, our new ideas the same way?
And that can happen. That has happened. I think the difference now is what you're going to see a lot more are systems that can work with older equipment. Kind of from the third-party add-ons, even the group I work with, FarmWave, that does harvest loss monitoring, it's an add-on. It doesn't matter what color it is. The combine could be 30 years old. You can add to it. You know, same with the GPS. People still want to drive straight. And as long as they can do those things, I think that the general adoption of everything will slowly increase. It might plateau a little bit right now with some of the newer types of tech that people aren't used to, that we're kind of told a lot in the last few years. But I think that the general stuff, the general agronomy and the tech part of it will just steadily increase. That won't change much because you don't need the newest and latest greatest tractor to do all these things. You just need the right tools that kind of work.
Consolidation. We're seeing so much consolidation in all areas of the ag industry. How do you feel about that in ag tech?
So the conference I was at, like I said, there was less attendance, less booths. It was still good. The substance was good. And part of that reason is from consolidation. Other groups have gobbled up other groups. Yes, that will continue. Probably a fourth of the people that were in that room will be part of another company or won't exist. Not because they're doing something bad. It's just there's a lot of factors to play. But I know one group, they're one of the largest software providers. They're going to buy anywhere from 4 to 6 companies, maybe by the end of the year, or especially in the beginning of next year. There's others like that. There's actually a lot of money out there to buy groups like private equity and things like that. So yes, that's coming very fast here.
Okay.
And Nathan, okay. The farm bill we've been working on, the government's been working on for quite some time now. How does that tie in with ag tech?
Well, probably right now the biggest part where there's a lot of focus on is naturally the environmental side, the carbon side, however you want to kind of say what it is. A lot of that needs ag technology to kind of showcase the proof of what it is and what it isn't. So there's a lot of provisions in there that are being looked at. There are some on the reporting side with like crop insurance, but all these things take time. You know, people not knowing where things are going to go. There's all these questions. And sometimes right now, a lot of the tech side can almost kind of be ignored because people just want to get the mainstay of the farm bill done. They're not, these other things are great. These new tech pieces are great that can help and help report better and do different things, environmental, sustainability, whatever you want to call it. I can see some of them maybe getting sidetracked just because of the timing and the political nature, but they can maybe get thrown in too, depending on the politics and who's who. So it's kind of a roll of the dice right now in my mind, but it's starting to play a bigger role for sure.
Nathan, I always really like when you come on and we just kind of pick your brain about what you think and what you see, because you operate in a slightly different space than, say, production agronomy, where I spend more of my time. So I really appreciate that and want to give you a moment to maybe mention Boundary, because we're getting towards the back half of the year. All you Christmas shoppers out there making good ideas and plans, talk about Boundary and what you do there so folks can think ahead about the end of the year.
Yeah, and my other side hustle, I have like 5 things going on. So so that side of it is more my personal side of novelty gifts. Really, I focus on the ag side now with I take maps, from satellite or aerial planes, pictures of your farm, put them on a play rug for, carpet farming. And it's of your farm, personalized, so your kids can play on your farm. But I'm getting into other things like shirts and mugs where, for instance, I did one. It was a onesie, and it had a little heart shape on it for my daycare worker's new baby. I put their family name on it. And, yeah, it's a personal gift that has this personal touch of the land, where you are, where's your place on this world. So I trying to focus on that. It's a big holiday item. So yes, get on there. I'll have a lot more coming and, there's some other partnerships too that I'm working on, kind of get it out there more and bring some other things to the table, but yes, definitely check it out.
We've got it up on we have it up on our live stream right now. Some examples of it. Yeah. That's pretty cool idea. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I saw it most recently. I was at the NDSU Farm Safety Camps, the one in Devil's Lake, and they had one of your carpets out, and yep. Folks were using that as for demonstrations with the students. So I thought that was a great fit.
Yeah, it's a good educational gift too. I try to get them into daycares. I'd love to get them in every kindergarten and first grade class around the country, naturally. And it's a good way to talk about farming and just get people's eyes onto it. I need to get it into the exhibit for like the kids where all the animals and the education center at the fairgrounds in Fargo. That's my next goal.
Excellent. Let me know if you need a contact person over there. I'll drop a name for you.
Perfect. I'll take it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us today, Nathan. We greatly appreciate it. And folks, don't go anywhere. We want to finish up headlines as well as the weather with Dean when we return.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:51 in the afternoon, temperatures 75 degrees. Pretty decent afternoon, just a few clouds out there, but we'll see more and more clouds as we head into the evening and especially into the overnight hours before more rain is in the forecast for tomorrow. So, again, we could use a little more rain, that's for sure, and we could also use some hotter days, get those heating degree days up. Help our corn out. Help everybody's corn out, right, Bridget?
We will all miss these days in January when it's a bit brisk.
Yeah, a bit brisk. I hope it's just a bit brisk. We'll take that.
That's what I'm shooting for. Yeah. That's all I need.
Right. Right. Well, let's hit some
I do not.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to tell you, I don't need another year like we had two winters ago where it stormed every other day because I'm not really sure I can take that. It was awful. Well, I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah. And again, the new LRC cycle will start here 2 months from today.
Yeah. Okay.
So a brand new.
Sooner or later, yep. We'll do a fall special, right?
That's just around the corner, too. Yeah. So it's. Okay. It'll be interesting to see what this October and November hold. You know, the start of the LRC cycle. Is it going to be quiet, stormy? You know, cold, warm. It's never a guarantee, but it's almost a guarantee this upcoming winter will not be anything like last winter. So that's,
we can only hope. But also, I've got to say that when it's time to pick the LRC special, because it is fall and we have so many things going on, we're going to have to check our calendars carefully. In fact, just 2 weeks away, you and I will be at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota.
That's
talking
right
about the LRC.
That's coming up 2 weeks, man. It's time to fly.
And honestly, the week after that, I hope to be in Boone, Iowa for the Farm Progress Show, which is the largest outdoor farm show in the U.S., and it's always hot there, so I'm going to need you to fix that.
Oh, in the middle of Iowa. Of course it is. How does that compare to Baltic? Obviously bigger than Baltic, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Farm Progress is a three-day show, and it is also spread out over, I think it's a half section. It's a pretty big chunk of land for Farm Progress. I don't remember how many acres. I'll have to look. Okay. Let's put it this way. It doesn't seem that big until it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're pounding the hot black tar pavement. And it's like 8,000 degrees surface of the sun type temperatures. Then it's a lot. Otherwise, it's not so bad.
Gotcha.
So.
And that's no fun.
That is no fun. Yeah. So anywho, what's the weather going to do now?
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got I'd like to call it some pretty decent weather heading our way, especially for the weekend. It seems like every weekend we've had at least a chance of rain in it, and I think this is going to be a totally dry weekend as high pressure will be in control. For the rest of today, though, partly cloudy, upper 70s, south winds about 5 to 15, increasing clouds tonight down to about 60, and then showers and thundershowers overspread the area tomorrow. Again, it's not going to be an all-day rain. We'll just see waves of it, probably one wave in the morning, then might see a break, and then another wave later in the day. Nothing severe tomorrow, so that's good. Highs only around 70, so we'll be in the 60s most of the day. Just blustery and chilly on Thursday. Breezy conditions out of the north. More clouds than sun, maybe a sprinkle or two with highs only in the 60s. But then we dry things out and gradual warming from Friday through Sunday. Low 70s on Friday, warming up into the upper 70s by Sunday. And then we should stay dry into early next week before our next chance of showers and storms comes in. Looks like Tuesday or Wednesday of next week as warmer weather tries to push into the area. And by warmer, we're talking 80s. Do I see any 90s returning? Oh, more than likely before
eventually.
The month. Yeah, more than likely. We're not done with the 90s yet this year. But some you know, warmer weather heading our way. And, you know, we get these timely rains, and that's all good news. We just need, like you said, Bridget, some hotter weather, if you will.
So maybe next week, Wednesday, will be just a smidge warmer when we have our teacher appreciation lunch. That'll be Wednesday, August 14th. Please stop by our studios at WDAY and the Flag Family Media. We want to honor our local teachers as well as school staff. And you can have a free lunch on us from 11 to 2. There will be food trucks, and there will be free bouncy houses, games, prizes, so much more. So bring the kids, stop by. Again, we want to make sure that we say thank you to the folks at the local school districts who do so much for us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Teachers are one of the most underappreciated people. The whole occupation, they're just so, I think they're underappreciated. What they do for our kids and everything, it's amazing. Amazing.
That's exactly right. They do great.
Yeah.
So, one more thing, and that is when we talk about technology today, we really focused on the software, the electronic technologies, if you will. One other technology that's out there is called CRISPR, and that is gene editing. And it's actually going to be applied to the ground cherry. The humble ground cherry is not well known. Maybe someday you'll find it on the shelves right next to the blueberries, but it's a cross between a tomato and a pineapple. And it's wrapped up in its own little paper cover, like a tomatillo. And when you look at the ground cherry, it's maybe not that big a deal. It tends to fall off the plant very easily. You have to pick the fruit up off the ground. It's not really wonderful. But what could happen by using gene editing on the ground cherries is leading the charge to make edits in other plants as well. With ground cherries, you could make it more manageable. You could make it increasing the time that the fruit stays on the plant so it doesn't fall. You can also look at it making sure that it has better harvestability, that it's you can cultivate it on a greater scale. There's just different reasons why the ground cherry would be easy to work with and then helps us unlock the secrets of being able to do it in other plants too. So the ground cherry is getting some attention as well as gene editing that can be done for
it. A cross between a tomato and a pineapple.
I wasn't looking for it. But now I want to. Now I want to know what this is like.
I want to know what it tastes like, no doubt. Oh,
man. And now, one of our morning hosts, Bonnie Amistadi, said she doesn't love them. They are prevalent up here in the northern Midwest. I've never had one, but now I'm curious if any of our listeners have, and they can certainly let us know via our Facebook page on Weather and Ag in Focus. Have you had ground cherry? Where are they?
They don't sell them in the stores, do they?
I've not seen them, but I haven't looked for them either.
I wonder how I'll ask Bonnie tomorrow where she found them, where she got them from.
I've managed to see them, like recipes for them, but I've not paid attention to the fruit.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining Bridget and I today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Hope you have a great rest of your afternoon. Don't go anywhere. The number one show in the afternoon, the Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.